Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, each and every one that is joining in with us this evening. We count it an honor and a blessing that you counted it not robbery to be here with us. I am Pastor Tylene Daly, your host for the next hour, and I welcome you to Bible Study for Life. Now, I need you to understand I'm coming to you this evening in a place of expectation, knowing that God is going to show up and show out. Hallelujah. We are going to be coming this evening from the book of Matthew. Again, we will be coming this evening from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 13. And before we dive into God's word, we are going to be ministered to, hallelujah, God through music by Hezekiah Walker and Every Praise. Right after that, I will come back with the scripture reading and prayer, and we will be diving into God's word. So to be ministered to by music, Every Praise by Hezekiah Walker.
Let me hear the worshipers.
Every praise,
it's to our God.
Every word of worship.
every praise, every form of worship, every praise, hallelujah, God, is due our God. Hallelujah, God. Again, I am Pastor Tylene Daly, and we are here with Bible Study for Life, and we are going to be coming to you this evening from the book of Matthew, from the 25th chapter and the 13th verse. First, I'm going to read it from the King James Version, and then I'm going to be reading it from the Message Version. Again, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. And the King James Version reads, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And the Message Version reads, stay alert. You have no idea when he might arrive. Again, so stay alert. You have no idea when he might arrive. And I would like to use for a topic this evening, simply watching for Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we bless you. We praise you. We glorify you. We magnify your holy name this evening. For you and you alone are the true and living God, Father. We say thank you, Father, for all that you are doing even now. Hallelujah, God. We say thank you for what we are believing for you to do in the future, Father. We say thank you for all that you have done for us in the past, Father. Hallelujah. If we had 1,000 tongues, we could not thank you, bless you, and praise you enough. Hallelujah, Father. Then, God, as we come before you, blessing and praising your name, we also come with a repenting heart, Father. We come as bad children before a good parent, asking forgiveness of any sins that we may have committed through thought, deed, or action, knowingly or unknowingly. Father God, hallelujah, Jesus, we ask that you will cast them into yonder sea of forgetfulness, that they not rise up against us in that day of judgment. Hallelujah, God. And we say thank you in advance for the forgiveness of our sins, Father God. Hallelujah, Father God. Then, God, we know that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Father God. We ask that you will meet the need of your creation this evening, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we ask that you will release a spirit of healing, hallelujah, a spirit of deliverance, a spirit of freedom in the name of Jesus, Father God. We ask that you will bring comfort to the grieving in the name of Jesus, Father God, hallelujah, God. We ask that you will stop by the hospital this evening, Father God, visit that patient that the doctor has said they've done all they could, Father God, for we know you are the great physician this evening, Father God. We know that there is healing in the hem of your garment this evening, Father God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you in advance for the healing that is taking place, Father God. We ask you to walk through mental hospitals this evening, through drug addict rehab, Father God, that you will release those held in bondage by the enemy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. For your word says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed, Father God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We say thank you this evening, Father. Hallelujah, God. Then, Father, we ask that you will toil the soil of our minds this evening, Father, that your word will fall on good ground. Hallelujah, God. take root, Father God, that when we leave off these airwaves, Father God, we will be good walking epistles of your word, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we ask that you will use your word this evening to draw some lost soul to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you will use your word this evening to bring some backslidden soul back into right relationship. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We bless you and we praise your holy name. Hallelujah, God. Then, Father, I surrender myself unto you this evening. I hide behind the cross this evening, Father God, that you may have your way, that you may have your say in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Hallelujah, God. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable unto you, my Lord and my Savior. Hallelujah, God. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We just bless and praise the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And again, our topic this evening is watching for Jesus. Amen. Now, I know some of you are thinking, like, why will we be talking about watching for Jesus? Hallelujah, God. And as we dig into the word of God this evening, you are going to find out exactly how we got to this topic. Amen. Now, what I've realized is that all through scripture, we find people looking, waiting, and watching for the Messiah, watching for the Christ, watching for the fulfillment of the prophecies of God that started way back in eternity past at the time of the fall. Amen. Way back in the Garden of Eden, when God told the serpent that he would put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. He said that the woman's seed would bruise his head, bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. And you can find this account in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And ever since God spoke these words, mankind has awaited in expectation for the arrival of the Messiah. Hallelujah, God. All throughout the Old Testament in the past, coming up to the New Testament, they were looking for the arrival of the Messiah. Amen. And even in the New Testament, when he came, hallelujah, they were still expecting the arrival of the Messiah. Even in today's time, now that he has come, laid his life down on a cross and rose back up unto the Father, even now we find ourselves awaiting the coming or the return of our Messiah, our Redeemer, our Deliverer. Amen. Now, the Old Testament of the Bible, in the Torah, and even, believe it or not, in the Quran, all of these holy writings hold prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. And the funny thing is that when he finally showed up on the scene and he filled every prophecy and requirement of not just the law, but also the word of God, and with everybody awaiting an expectation, when he got here, nobody knew who he was. No one was really able to recognize him. And most of those who did recognize him did not want to acknowledge him. If you don't believe me, look in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 10, and it tells us he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Hallelujah. And from that time of the ascension of Jesus back unto the Father, we have been, as instructed, watching for the return of the Savior, of Jesus the Christ. Amen. There are at least 14 scriptures in the New Testament that instruct us to watch for Jesus. Why is that of any importance to state that there are 14 scriptures that tell us to watch for Jesus. It is important because of how many times it is said in the biblical meaning of that number of times that it was said. Hallelujah. Biblically, the number 14 is symbolic to salvation and deliverance, yes? So the first thing that I want to bring to your attention this evening is that when you find that you are truly watching for Jesus, you will find yourself walking in salvation and deliverance. Hallelujah, God. That was a place to shout right there, because what it is letting you know is that when you are watching for Jesus, you are already beginning to flow and walk in your power. Amen. And for those of you who don't know exactly what salvation and deliverance are, we finna tell you right now. I call salvation and deliverance spiritual gateway drugs. Amen. Hallelujah, God. You know how they say in the world that there are certain drugs that if you begin to take them, they will become gateway drugs to stronger drugs or gateways to stronger addictions. Well, when in the spiritual realm, when you begin to watch for Jesus walking in your salvation and deliverance, yes, they are spiritual gateway drugs, hallelujah, that will lead to being filled with the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, being anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing about abundance and strength, and the list goes on and on, hallelujah, God. However, I have found that when I talk to some believers, when I scroll through social media pages, I hear statements that we are watching for Jesus. I read statements that we are watching for Jesus. And remember, I told you a few seconds ago, the Lord just said that when you are watching for him, you are beginning to walk in your power, in your salvation, in your deliverance. Yet these people saying that they are watching, we begin to feel powerless. They have begun to feel bound. They feel empty, broken, and their list goes on and on. And it made me start to seek God, because how is it that watching, which is supposed to lead us to so much more, yet some of us feel like we feel? How is this even possible? And then the Lord gave me the revelation and the illumination that not only was powerful, but mind-blowing and simple when it comes to watching. What was revealed was some of us think that we are really watching for Jesus, but unfortunately, we're not. I know we believe that we are doing this thing the right way, but we haven't been. The truth is, we are doing some things that look like watching, and some of it is actually a part of watching, but it's not the same as watching. Hallelujah, God. We make statements like, I'm looking for Jesus to return, but I've got a news flash for you. Looking alone is not enough. We make statements like, I'm waiting for Jesus to return, but newsflash this evening, waiting alone is not enough, because God's word does not tell us to look for him or to wait for him. It says to watch for him. But we are going to come back to that in a minute. Amen. Then when we looked at this, he let me know that we have those of us who are actually watching for Jesus, but we are so focused looking out on the horizon that we are missing what's going on in the harbor right in front of us. Amen. We are so focused looking for the return of Jesus out in the horizon that we are ignoring the part of Jesus that lives in our brother or our sister that is hungry. Hallelujah. We are ignoring the homeless around us. We are ignoring the abused, the battered. Hallelujah, God. We are even stepping over the backslidden. Hallelujah, God. Instead of praying and reaching out, we are so focused, hallelujah, on the horizon that we are missing what's going on in the harbor right in front of us. In other words, we are so fixed on his return that we are ignoring his presence right in front of us. Hallelujah, God. For he is right here with us now, trying to get the attention of all of us that's looking afar off to say, yo, look right here. I'm right here. I want to tell you something. I want to use you to do something, which finally brings us to those of us who are truly watching for Jesus to show up. They are paying attention to the horizon in the harbor. However, we have not yet realized that he is trying to show up through us. Hallelujah, God. I know that just confused somebody out there. Let me try to break that down again, because see, if the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in us through Christ Jesus in our salvation, our step of faith, our acceptance of him into our lives, hallelujah, God, then he is in us. And if he is in us, he's not just in us to hang out, to use us to be that blessing. He wants to use us to be that miracle. Hallelujah. We're not realizing that he is trying to show up through us. We're so busy waiting to see the Red Sea open up and trying to figure out how God is going to do it, not realizing that we are the staff that God puts in Moses' hand. Hallelujah. We want to see him feed the multitudes, but we don't realize that we are the people or the person that has the two fish and five loaves of bread in our possession. Amen. So again, that we have to get to a place where we really understand what it means to watch for Jesus. Amen. So let's look at the key scripture again, and then we, through the unction of the Holy Spirit, will break down these points. Again, it says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, this scripture is the ending statement of Jesus's parable to the disciples about the 10 virgins who were waiting for the return of their bridegroom. But it is also something that I like to call a nugget, a hidden treasure of information that God has placed in plain sight for us to find if we are just willing to dig it out. Hallelujah, God. And so before I can even go into that, I must be obedient to those who came before me and taught me and give you the background of what was going on here, hallelujah, in chapter 25. Now, as I said, our key scripture is the closing statement of Jesus talking to the disciples about the 10 virgins waiting for the return of the bridegroom. Now, you can read the account for yourself in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, but I'm going to summarize this story for you now. Now, we have 10 virgins. They were considered to be wise and foolish. Five of them were considered to be wise. Five of them was considered to be foolish. Now, what made them wise or foolish was based on their willingness to be prepared for an event that they had been chosen for, to be the bride of the bridegroom. Hallelujah, God. I want y'all to catch that again. What made them either wise or foolish was not based on if they were called by Christ, because they were 10 virgins called by the bridegroom himself. So what made them wise or foolish was their willingness to be prepared or unprepared for an event that they knew was coming up. They were chosen VIP members for that event, for they were the bride of the bridegroom, and they had to be prepared to go. Now, the five who were considered to be wise, when they were chosen by the bridegroom, they went and grabbed extra oil from their lamps, and they grabbed their lamps and followed after the bridegroom. Now, the five who were considered foolish, when they were chosen, they also grabbed their lamps and ran after the bridegroom, but they went with only what they had with them at the time. They didn't stop to get extra oil. They didn't stop to get extra kindling in case they had a hard time lighting it. They didn't stop to get extra wicks in case something had. They just ran with exactly what they had. Now, as you look at the 10 virgins, I want you to remember what we had just said about some of us thinking that we are watching. The truth is we are doing some things that look like watching, and some of it is actually a part of watching, but it is not the same as watching. The 10 virgins are proof of what I'm saying. When you look at all 10 virgins from the outside, they all appear to be doing the correct thing, following after their bridegroom. However, on a deeper level, only 5 are really prepared to go, the 5 wise virgins, and 5 will later find out aren't prepared to go at all. But let's continue with the summarization of Matthew 25, verses 1 and 13. Now, the bridegroom must have told the virgins to wait for him because the scripture tells us that he tarried, and as he tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So the announcement is given that the bridegroom is approaching, not even that he is there, but that he is approaching, and they need to grab their lamps and oil so that they can go with the bridegroom, because after all, again, they were chosen for him and they were chosen by him. Hallelujah. Somebody gonna get that in a minute. They were chosen for him and they were chosen by him. I know you probably gonna hear me say this later on in the evening, but I have to stop right there for a second and say, don't be one of the bridegroom, one of the 10 virgins that were chosen by Jesus Christ, that was chosen for Jesus Christ, but you don't have enough oil to make it in. Now, what happened from that point on was that the 5 who did not have enough oil, they asked the other 5 if they could borrow them. They told them no, because you can't borrow the Holy Ghost from nobody. Thank you, Jesus. You can't borrow the Holy Ghost from nobody, and I'll explain what that means in a second. So those 5 that did not have enough oil, they grabbed their lamps and ran out trying to get to the store to get enough oil. Now, the 5 who were considered wise, they just grabbed their lamps, filled it up with a little fresh oil, and lit their flames so that when the bridegroom got there, hallelujah, they were able to go with the bridegroom. So long story short, the foolish left in an attempt to get more oil. While they were out purchasing it, the bridegroom arrived. He picked up the 5 that were ready, and he went on to the ceremony. Now you have the other 5 coming back, and they are upset. What do you mean? He chose us. He just wasn't, you know what, he didn't know. That sounds like some of us today that calls ourselves watching. We said God didn't know that we weren't ready. No, you don't know that you're not ready. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. So they said, that's all right. We know where the ceremony is. We're going to go up there and we're going to knock on the door. And once he sees us, we know he's going to let us in, because after all, he picked us and he chose us for himself. And then if you continue to read the story, it says that when they got there and they knocked on the door, hallelujah, Jesus opens the door, the bridegroom opens the door, and they're like, hey, it's us, your other 5 virgins. He looks at them and goes, do I know you? Side note, don't get to glory and hear Jesus say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Although I made you, I know you not. Don't live your life sitting on a church pew and get to glory and find out that you've just been looking, you ain't been watching. Hallelujah, God. So that's the story in a nutshell of the parable of the 10 virgins. And at the end of it, Jesus tells them to watch. Hallelujah, God. Because no man knows the day or the hour that he shall return. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. And I know that what I have to do really quickly, I'm looking at the time, is I want to break down what those parables, although with those what the items and people in the parable actually represents. Now, anytime you hear in the Bible, I'm talking about the bride, they are talking about the church. There's a few things that let us know that he was talking about the church. One, he was talking to the disciples privately. He was talking to his group, those whom he had chosen for him, hallelujah, and those that he had chosen himself. And if you look up at the 24th verse of Matthew, the 24th chapter of Matthew, you can find how their conversation even begun. Amen. They were asking him, how would they know when the end was near, or when the end was about to come? And this was one of the parables that he told them. And so we know that he is talking about the church. Hallelujah, God. The five wise virgins represents those who have been saved, filled and sealed with the Holy Ghost. How do we know this? Because we know that oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And the other five, the five foolish, represent those that gave their lives to Christ, or they said they gave their lives to Christ. They believed they gave their lives to Christ. So according to his word, they were saved because they confessed with their mouth and believed in their heart. However, they were never filled or sealed with the Holy Ghost. Now, I know that just got somebody upset a little bit. Hallelujah, God. Because at the end of the day, a lot of us believe that all it takes is just salvation. Hallelujah, God. But the truth of the matter is that it takes just a little bit more than just salvation. I know that made somebody go, wait a minute, what is she talking about right there? But if you turn, and I'm trying to get to the exact scripture, hallelujah, God, let me slow down. Here it goes. In John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus said that, "Verily, or very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." You must be filled and sealed with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, God. Now, another side note, we as believers have got to stop being comfortable with visitations of the Spirit of God and start searching and aiming for the dwelling of his Spirit within us, the filling of his Spirit into us. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We can't be content with just shouting in the sanctuary. Hallelujah, God. We have to allow his Spirit to permeate through us all day, every day, 7 days of the week. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. And not just allowing his Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God, I'm going to say, yes, Lord. And this is something else I got to say. I got to say, the word of God says that there are different gifts of the Spirit, if I'm not mistaken, because I don't have it open, but there are seven gifts of the Spirit. We got to stop telling people that speaking in tongues is the only proof of the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is proof of his presence, yes, but it is not the only proof of his presence. However, this is the funny part. The one thing that we feel like is the only proof, that's what some, not everybody, but some, they don't speak in tongues, they don't have the Holy Spirit. The one thing that we put that much weight on is the one gift of the Holy Spirit that can be faked. Somebody can fake speaking in tongues. If you don't believe me, say these words as fast as you can. She coming in a Honda, and see if it don't sound like somebody speaking in tongues. Yeah, let's try it. She coming in a Honda, she coming in a Honda, she coming in a Honda, she coming in a Honda. And all I'm saying is that some female is coming in a type of car. It's the only gift that can be faked, but it's the gift we put a lot of weight on instead of putting weight on long suffering, because you can't fake that gift of the Spirit, instead of putting faith and weight on patience, because you can't fake that gift of the Spirit, instead of putting weight on true agape love, hallelujah, God, because you can't fake that gift of the Spirit, hallelujah. We've got to stop being content with his visitation and start aiming, seeking, and reaching for his indwelling. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, again, we said that the brides, the 10 virgins represent the church, and that the oil represents the Holy Spirit. Well, then the question is, what exactly did the lamps represent? Now, hallelujah, God. And the lamps represent the word of God. The lamps that the virgins were carrying is symbolic for the word of God. If you don't believe me, just visit Psalms chapter 119, verse 105, where it tells us that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light on our path. Hallelujah, God. So you need the word of God and to be your lamp. You need the Holy Spirit to be your oil and to ignite the fire that will give you the light to be able to see the bridegroom when he cometh. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. So yes, that's what the parable is about. It is about the return of Jesus Christ to collecting the church, because we know that the bridegroom is the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. However, if you remember, I told you that there was a hidden piece of wisdom hidden in verse 13, and also an important instruction. Now, I want you to remember that Jesus told us in Matthew 13 and 11 that it has been given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. So for those who God has appointed, here's a mystery that you might have missed. If you are willing to dig in here with me, we can find that what makes this word so meaningful, what makes this verse so meaningful, is the word watch. Hallelujah, God. Now, before I get to the word watch, let's first look at how Jesus worded this statement, because we always have to remember that God is omnipresent. He is in every place at every second of every time. I personally believe that all of everything that exists actually exists in him. And I personally believe that because we can find it in scripture. But that's a quick Bible study for another time. And because he is omnipresent, so also is his word. It holds all three places of the time continuum at the same time, past, present, and future. And when you look at this statement that Jesus made at different times throughout chapter 24 and 25, you will see that he worded it to fulfill all three places in time, the past, the present, and the future. Hallelujah. And this proof is found in the word come. Hallelujah. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines the word come as to move towards something, to journey to a vicinity with a specific purpose, to arrive at a particular place, end, result, or conclusion. The word come itself holds the position of present tense. And truthfully, there is no future or past tense form of that particular word without changing the word totally. Hallelujah. The position it holds on the timeline is based on the words attached to it. For example, people will say, I shall come or I will come, future tense, because of the words will or shall. And to say come in the past tense, like I said, that changes it to a different word. That's came. Now, why this quick English lesson? Because when we get to this 13th verse, we have Jesus the Word talk. And the Word that created all things, including spoken word, is making a statement that if he wanted it to only apply to a futuristic event, would have said, you don't know the day nor the hour the Son of Man will come, or you don't know the day nor the hour the Son of Man will return. But he said, you don't don't know when the Son of Man cometh or comes. Now, we know that in general, because of the totality of the conversation, that he is talking about a future event, but he is also giving a present day promise. Hallelujah, God. By now, somebody is starting to put this thing together wherever you are listening at. It is good to be ready for the return of Christ to appear when he comes to rapture his church to get his bride, but we should also be ready for him to come right now. Come to your situation. Come to your life. Come to your family. Come to your sick bed. Hallelujah, God. We should be watching for Jesus to come, show up every single day, knowing that he is going to show up every single day. Hallelujah, God. What God has told me to stop by on my way to glory this evening to let you know is that the Son of Man, Jesus the Christ, cometh every single day. He comes to bring healing. He comes to bring deliverance. He comes to bring joy. He comes to bring comfort. He comes to be a bridge over troubled waters. Hallelujah. He comes to make a way out of no way. Hallelujah. Jesus, the God-man, the Messiah, the Son of God, comes each and every day. Hallelujah, God. Now, somebody out there, because I hear you in my spiritual ear, you're not believing it. You don't think that he shows up every single day. You don't think that he can show up every single day. Because after all, you have been going through some things that will make you feel like, well, where's he at? That's where we come back to that watching situation. Hallelujah, God. Because you are looking at it from the standpoint of I'm waiting for his return, because he would not come back before his return. But what we have to remember is that through the Holy Spirit, not only has he come back, but he lives within each and every one of us. Hallelujah, God. And it's not unusual for God to, for Jesus to make an appearance, hallelujah, outside of the timeline in which the Bible refers to as the fullness of time. Hallelujah. For those who don't understand what I mean, in the book of Matthew, when they're talking about the birth of the Messiah, the word of God says that in the fullness of time, hallelujah, which means that it had finally gotten to the point that that body that God had created for Jesus in eternity past was to come forth upon the earth. But before he ever showed up in that body, he showed up for Abraham first as Melchizedek, and then as a ram in a bush. He showed up for Moses and the children of Israel as a rock that followed them in the desert. He showed up for Moses again as a cleft in the mountainside. Hallelujah, God. He was the water that was given them to drink in the manna that fell from heaven. Hallelujah. He showed up as the muzzle on the lion's mouth. Hallelujah, God, when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. He was the air conditioning system put into the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hallelujah. And this was confirmed by King Nebuchadnezzar himself, the person who threw them in the furnace. For when he went and looked, he said, looking into the furnace, did not we throw three men into the furnace? And the people responded, yes, O king. And he said, but I see four men, hallelujah, and the fourth looks like unto the Son of Man, hallelujah. And guess what? He is still able to show up in our lives today. He is still coming today. We just need to begin to watch for him daily. Hallelujah, God. Because when and only when we begin to watch for him daily will we begin to flow in the true power of the watch. Hallelujah. To recap what I said at the very beginning of the statement of watch for Jesus or watch for the Son of Man is mentioned at least 14 times in the Bible. And I told you what that means, that that is God's number associated with salvation, deliverance, and power. And I told you that they are powerful. That they are powerful spiritual gateway drugs that lead to other powers. And in this evening, we are talking about watch, hallelujah, God. Now, if you remember, I talked about the fact that we should be watching for him every day, and now we are going to switch for watching as Jesus intended for us to do, amen? If we have been doing it correctly, then we are going to pray for the ones who aren't doing it correctly. And if we find that we are one of the ones doing it incorrectly, we are not going to get upset. We are just going to fix it, amen? Hallelujah, God. To watch means to observe closely in order to check on action or change. It is not enough to just look for his coming, but we have to watch for it. To look means to gaze upon, to stand in one place, to fix your gaze upon him. We gotta watch for him. It's not enough to fix your gaze on him, but we must still watch for him. Hallelujah, God. To wait means that we are standing still in one place with an expectation of something. But I'm telling you this evening through the Lord Jesus Christ that it's not enough to just wait, hallelujah, but we have to watch for him. To watch also means to guard, to protect, and to be ready to take action, hallelujah, God. Not just sit in one place, but to move about vigilantly and attentively to that what is going on all around you. Hallelujah, God. When you are watching for Jesus, you are able to see the hurt in your brothers and sisters. When you are watching for Jesus, you are able to pray for the sick, no matter who they may be or what they may have done to you. Hallelujah, God. When you are watching for Jesus, you are able to turn on the drop of a dime. Hallelujah, God, to do that which God would have you to do. Because remember, watch means to be vigilantly and ready to take action, to turn, and to be prepared to move on a change. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, Jesus. And what we have to understand is that when we are watching for Jesus, the first change we are going to see is not going to be in everybody else. The first turn, the first change that is going to take place is going to be within ourselves. The scripture tells us old things begin to pass away and you begin to become new. Hallelujah, God. You begin to transform into the image of Christ through the renewing of your mind, as Paul speaks of in Romans 12 and 2. Watching means to be attentive, care of. When you begin to watch for Jesus to come daily, you begin to become more attentive to others. You begin to become more vigilant for God in taking care of others. You begin to show the love of Jesus because your fix has come off of the horizon and you started to pay attention to what's going on in the harbor right in front of you. Hallelujah, God. You begin to realize that Jesus' presence is right there with you. You begin to realize that in some instances, he wants to use you to be a blessing to others. You look for signs of the enemy like sharks that could kill or maim others, so that you can pray for them, protect them, keep them through Christ Jesus. You are keeping watch, not so that you can go talk about them, but because you are watching for the opportunity of God to allow you to jump in so that you can help them. You are waiting for God to say, you know what, today you're going to be the life raft I throw out. You find yourself loving others as you do yourself, as Jesus instructs us to do in Matthew 22 and 39. Hallelujah, God. Some of us are so fixed on his coming that we miss his appearance. Remember what John stated in John 1, 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Remember, the Sadducees and Pharisees, they knew all the scriptures. They knew what the prophecy said that told of his coming. Till this day, the Torah does not include Isaiah chapter 53. entire chapter is prophecy of the Messiah and can be used to prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the awaited Messiah. But they did not want to accept him. They got so focused on his coming that they missed his appearance. Some of us today are so focused on his coming that we've missed his appearance. There are different religious faiths out there today. They believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They believe that he is coming back again, but they refuse to believe that he is the Son of God. They are looking for his coming, but they are missing his appearance. You don't have to miss his appearance nor his coming this evening. No matter where you are, no matter how you are listening in this evening, you have the opportunity to begin to watch anew, to watch for Jesus' return, to watch for Jesus to come into your life, even this instant. Hallelujah, God. And it's done in accordance to God's word. You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he lived and died for our sins, then you are saved. Hallelujah, God. It's not a hard prayer to pray. You don't have to wait until Sunday morning, Sabbath worship. You don't have to wait until Bible study or prayer meeting. Wherever you are, you can say it right now. See, waiting to get to some place to say it, that's about a membership. But a personal relationship starts right here, right now, just between you and God. And it comes with something just as simple as just repeating this prayer after me. You say, Father God, I come to you this evening, accepting the gift of your Son Jesus into my life. I agree with your word that I am a sinner needing to be saved. So I ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I ask him to come into my heart and to begin to make me new in Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer according to God's word, you are saved. And we bless and thank God for each and every one of you. Hallelujah, God. Now, of course, we encourage you to find the Bible Believing Teaching Preaching Sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this day. But until then, bless God, that is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here just for you. Please join in with us tomorrow evening. Hallelujah. Tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. for another broadcast of Purpose Kingdom Network. We will be broadcasting with Let's Talk About It and the host, Adrian Allen, Mother Janice Hudson, and myself, Pastor Tylene Daly. We ask that you just come and join us, ladies, at the table as we talk about current events with a biblical view. Amen. We will be broadcasting again at 9 p.m. right here at www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can follow us on any of our social media pages. We are on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to reach out to us via our webpage, which is www.pknradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Amen. Again, we thank God for each and every one of you. And if you get nothing else out of what God's word is telling you today, I want you to understand that watching is an action word. Hallelujah, God. Watching is about not just looking with your eyes. Hallelujah, God. It's about surveying the area. Hallelujah, God. It's about keeping safe that which needs to be kept safe through the unctioning of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, God. You know, when I was in my younger years, I used to be a security guard, or They used to call them night watchmen back in the day. I mean, way back in the day, y'all, like my mom and my granddaddy's days. But I used to be a security guard, and I worked the night shift. And as well as watching the front door and the cameras to make sure that everything was okay, my job was to walk and check the surrounding grounds of the place that I was assigned to, hallelujah, God, to walk and make sure there were not any signs of danger, to walk to make sure that those people working in the building were still safe and didn't need any emergency assistance, to walk to make sure that the location was secure. Hallelujah. That's what we should be doing when we are watching for Jesus. Wherever God has you planted at, you need to be walking and watching, making sure your brothers and sisters in Christ, I know this is about the umpteenth time I said it this evening, but if God keeps having me say it, then somebody needs to hear it. Making sure that your brothers and your sisters in Christ Jesus are okay. Hallelujah, God. We need to be watching, loving people like Jesus loved them. Hallelujah, God. If you look all through the scripture, the only time you hear Jesus putting somebody down is when he's talking to the church of that day, and not even the people in the church, but the church rulership who had made a hypocrisy of God's word. Amen. So if you notice, when he met the woman at the well, he didn't go up to her and say, hey, ho. When he met the tax collector, he didn't walk up to him and say, hey, thief. He took them where they were and showed them love, unconditional love, to bring them to where God would have them to be. Hallelujah, Jesus. And that is all that Christ is asking of us. Hallelujah. To be watching for Jesus through the unction of the Holy Spirit, to be ready to be that blessing that Jesus would have us to be. Hallelujah, God. Stop waiting for the miracle and realize that God wants to use you to be the miracle. Oh, I'm praying for God to bless so-and-so. I'm praying for God to be the miracle in so-and-so's life. And he has equipped you with everything that so-and-so needs for that miracle to take place. But you still waiting to see the Red Sea part. And you the rod that Moses was told to have put in the air. We've got to watch for Jesus the right way. Because, again, when we watch for Jesus, according to the mannerism in which he would have us watch for him, we begin to walk in the power of Jesus Christ. Again, I thank each and every one of you for joining in with us this evening. Amen. We are going to end with a prayer. And after we end with the prayer, know that I will see you again next month on the third Sunday of the month for another Bible study for life. Don't forget to join in with us tomorrow evening for Let's Talk About It at 9 p.m. Amen. Father God, we thank you. We bless you and we praise your holy name. We thank you for the word that has gone forth this evening, Father God. We pray that it does and accomplishes all that you have set it out to do, Father God. We thank you in advance for the souls that came to Christ this evening. We thank you in advance, Father God, for the souls that have decided to begin to watch correctly, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for the correction that you've given us on how we are watching, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you will keep each and every one under the sound of my voice. Continue to be the Jehovah Jireh they need, Father God. Continue to be a fortress around them, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Until we come again, we bless and praise your holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you each and every one. May you be blessed. Know that I love you, but more importantly, God loves you. God bless you and good night.
Jesus lives.
He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose. Set me free. I
will not lose. Never wanna see me down, I will not lose. Save me.